Voices of Defiance podcast number 48, recorded and streamed live Sunday, March 20th, 2016. It's the Reunion Cast, Volume 1.
I'm Steven.
I'm Chris.
I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm the French Canadian Sensation.
And we're the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a podcast member of the GunnaGeek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready,
because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Let's geek!
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes, to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
So say we all! I'll get to that in a second. Hello, I am Stargate Pioneer, one of the hosts of Voices of Defiance. I never thought I'd say that again. And with me is the woman who single-handedly is responsible for stacking the Dallas Comic Con with exceptional guests this year. Her name is Shannon.
Hey, guys.
And then also, yeah.
And with her always is Turd Ferguson.
That's right. The superhero whose powers include marrying above his stature, ability to be easily controlled by small female offspring, and breaking Behringer mixer drivers. His name is Sean.
Man, ain't that the truth? In fact, all those are pretty much true.
That's right. Today we'll be talking about Starfest 2016. It was a sci-fi convention in Denver this year, and C2E2, which as we record this is still going on, but I had to jet early, and that is in Chicago. That is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. Just a little reminder, you can catch us at GunnaGeek.com and go to the contact page, which is now archived. We're an archive podcast. Can you believe that?
We're old.
We have pod faded, but you can catch all the ways to contact us. That's still valid. And our voicemail line, which still to this day remains active, that is 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. Hey, the show has been canceled, but we've had an auction. And Shannon, you have some auction swag.
Let me just start off by saying that I wouldn't have this auction. I didn't. The stuff I wanted to get bloomed out of my price range really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't afford it. And then I never looked back. I'm like, I can't afford this stuff. It's just not going to happen. So I just quit looking at it. And then one day I'm at work and I get this large package. And I'm like, instructing my mother-in-law to open. I'm like, let me see. And the moment she said who it was from, VIP auctions, I knew where it was from. I didn't know who. And there was no freaking name on it. So I had to do some detective work and find the area code and find out what state it was from. It came from Ohio. And I'm like, I only know two people in Ohio. So Ryan, a guy that I'm on Twitter with, and he plays the game with us, he had purchased the bowl that Stama used in Defiance. You know, like the one that she
pot,
used.
Actually.
It's a pot that she used to mix her poison stuff in. And then it has the pouch. It's a leather drawstring pouch. Inside of it, I don't know what that stuff was.
It looked like weed, man.
I couldn't go through the airport with it, so I didn't get out.
I mean, we literally took the stuff out, and it still had the kind of poison pellets from the show that they used in it. And I swear to you, it looked like cannabis. I mean, I know it wasn't.
It smelled horrible.
I mean, obviously, it was some kind of potpourri ball type thing, but it looked like cannabis.
So
black cannabis.
I had to flush that stuff before I went into the airport. It would have been bad.
Like a dog would have singled. You've been selected for a random body search.
Really, honestly, what does he have in this Thomas poison? It wouldn't have gone well.
Yeah. See, it's poison she used to kill a bunch of stuff out of line, man. No, really, it's
cavity search.
Bend over.
Yeah.
So I emptied that stuff out. So it came with the bowl that she mixed her stuff in. It came with the pouch. It came with the comb. You remember the episode where at the end of, I think it's the middle, well, not with the end, but in season 2, where she's in the tub with Alec, and she's brushing his hair, and then Daytek comes home that day.
Yeah, that comb.
That comb. The gigantic long. You think it's just a piece of plastic?
No, it's milled aluminum, which is crazy.
Wow. Yeah,
no, it's, I mean, and the end of it is like pointy. I mean, it's very stabby. Honestly, she shouldn't have put down the comb when Daytek came in. She could have jabbed him and just skewered him from in the heart, and he'd have just died instantly with this thing.
So
I plan to use it as a home defense weapon.
And it had, what do you call those things? The loofah?
Loofah.
It had the, and it still has white paint on it.
It does. It still have little pieces of Jamie on it.
Oh, nice. DNA that sucker. You can clone Jamie.
We have enough pieces. We could clone our own Jamie Murray.
So, I took the bowl and the pouch, emptied. I emptied, had empty the pouch, with me to Denver. So, again, if I didn't have the stuff that Brian had bought for me and sent to me, it would not have given me, I don't think I would have had the courage to speak with her as much as I did, because it gave me something to have a conversation about. So not only did I talk with her, but I talked with her 4 times.
She was probably like, I never thought I'd see this again.
Well, you know, the first time I saw her, I was walking up to her to have my picture taken with her. She's like, oh, what is this? What did I do with this? I'm like, you killed lots of people. She goes, how delicious. how nastily delicious of Sama, you know. So that was pretty cool. We had our picture taken with it. She was holding the bowl in the pouch. And it was funny because she actually argued with me. So here I am from last time where I couldn't get anything out. I couldn't speak with her other than I love you. To this time, I'm not only talking with her, but I argued with her. Because
this is actually much how our relationship started. You know, yes. Shannon's like, oh, I love you. And then just arguing for the next 17 years. That's pretty much how that's pretty much how it works with Shannon.
Arguing? You mean losing on your part?
That's what I said, arguing.
So I was telling her that I wanted to give her this pouch because I emptied all the nasty stuff out, and I decorated the inside of it, and I put all the stuff that I want, and I wrapped a handwritten note around it. So she's like, but did you make it? I'm like, no, I won it from the auction. She's like, no, I can't take it. You keep it. I'm like, no, but I emptied the stuff out, and I made stuff for you. She's like, but did you make it? I'm like, no.
She's probably thinking in her head, oh my God, we put weed in that. I can't take that through an airport. You do it.
I think if I'd have made it, she would have kept it. But because it was something that I, you know, was won from the auction, she wanted me to keep the pieces together.
Yeah.
So she's like, be gone with you. She told me to get out for lunch.
Right away.
So, and then, you know, when I finally got up into her line, which, you know, as much as I go to cons, I wasn't impressed with the con itself because it was very small. It was inside of a Crown Plaza. It had like
probably one I'd have went to because I don't.
You would have been. You remember the cons that used to be here in Dallas a long time ago before they got big, when they were in like the Office 75 and they had that real small room.
Yes, and I could like walk without somebody groping by various parts of my anatomy, not on purpose.
And why is that a problem?
I wouldn't have a problem with because it if it was on purpose.
He's claustrophobic. And that's why he doesn't go to any of the cons with me.
That's why I don't like crowds.
Right. He can't handle that. But back then when it was small, I mean, remember Jewel State and Peter Mayhew was there. And I mean,
yeah, I turned around and like there was Aaron Gray, like just 12 feet from me. And I lost the power of speech. Yeah.
But yeah, that was when we met Jewel State. But it was small like that. So I wasn't really impressed with the actual con. But it was okay because I didn't spend any money on merchandise there. I spent it all on Jamie because her line was so small.
You know how that sounds, right?
Yes, that's okay. That's okay. I spent $200 on his worth.
So what's that buy you with her, like 30 seconds?
Let me tell you something. She was sitting right next to Michael Dorn.
Oh, nice.
And nobody was in his line.
Oh, that happens to him too many times that I've heard.
Word gets around, though, because he doesn't actually like
people. He used to be rather bitchy to people.
Yeah, and that got around quick, too.
What's the girl that she played on Deep Space Nine? Nana Visitor?
Nana Visitor.
She was sitting beside him, so it was her, Michael Dorn, Jamie, Connor Triner, I think is how you say his name?
Mm-hmm.
And a guy from...
Trainer. Yeah.
And a guy from 100 and a girl that I'd never seen. There was only 6 of them there. And, of course, they're all in Jamie's line. You'd see every once in a while in Michael. Line, and Nana didn't even show up like 2 hours after she's supposed to be there. So Jamie was the hit, obviously.
Yeah, but the thing about Jamie is everyone knows that she's very gracious with her fans. She always shows up as best she can. She shows up on time and stays late. I mean, so
she's there all 3 days. Yeah,
she's very gracious. So I think everybody knows that. And honestly, of the people there, she was the one with a show that was you know, on air last. So right. she would be, she well, would be,
the,
would,
the 100 is still going, but
I suppose that's true.
Yeah. I've heard that it's not called the 100 anymore. It's called 100.
100.
100.
I like that show. I like that show.
Apparently a lot of, a lot of people do. It just got renewed again is with yeah. the entire matter rest of the CW suite.
David Peterson, who did the voices for the show of Defiance and all the languages on Game of Thrones, he is on that show creating their languages.
Honestly, that CW is out sci-fying sci-fi. I mean, they're really taking care of their shows.
They're out. I wouldn't call it sci-fi, and I can't call it fantasy either. It's comic book stuff, really.
Yeah, but still, it's that same kind of genre.
It's the same kind of feel, because you know what? I like the 100. I have not, let me tell you something, and this is the honest truth. I have not watched the Sci-Fi Channel since Defiance ended. I haven't. There's things I've watched that's been sci-fi, but I have not been back on that channel.
You haven't now, watched The Expanse? I thought you watched The Expanse.
No.
Really? No. Really?
Yeah.
You guys need to watch that. That is awesome
stuff. I do.
Oh, you said you do.
Yeah, okay. I do.
I haven't been back. So,
they canceled Jamie Shannon. Be gone with you.
And I think it's funny now that there's this battle going on between, is it Dish? Is it, yeah, it's Dish and NBC, because Dish is canceling the Sci-Fi Channel. It's canceled. I think there's, it's more than just the Sci-Fi Channel.
Dish is doing that to a lot of channels.
Yeah, yeah, it's all money.
There's a big run. There's a big run in with NBC right now. So that's okay. I don't need you. I got, you know, Cody.
Well, there's a lot of content you can watch. Honestly, there's you're missing out on some shows.
You know what? But on, you know, also, I'm ever since Artiva broke, which has been a couple months now, I didn't get to finish the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
To be fair, that TiVo was 11 years old.
I've watched like 4 episodes of Agent Carter. I mean, I just, because I have to watch them through Cody. I don't have them through Cody. So, anyways, the con was really cool because even though I wasn't impressed with the con, it gave me one-on-one FaceTime with Jamie. So I kept looking for excuses of things for her to sign. So I ended up getting 4 autographs.
Sign my boobs.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You got 2 right there. I mean, you don't have to look.
2, 4, yeah. So she signed the lid on the inside of that bowl.
Which is pretty cool.
And although she wouldn't take the pouch, she took the handwritten note from it.
Oh.
It had my name and my Twitter handle on it. She hasn't been back on Twitter though since. And then I brought my own 8x10 picture from a photo shoot that she had done a couple, last 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, like when you're at a desk where they're sitting there autographed, they have pictures that you can pick from mm-hmm. to sign. And I brought my own. And she's like, "Ooh, I love this picture." I'm like, "I do too."
Who is that beautiful woman?
Yeah, she's like, "Who is this sexy woman?" I'm like, "That's you." So I have proof. I have pictures because I met up with 2 friends there that flew in for the same reason
mm-hmm.
that I talked to on Twitter. They took pictures of me. And I was like down on my knees on front of the table in front of Jamie.
Nice.
So they took pictures of me, get my picture taken with her. They took pictures of me talking with her. So yeah, she signed that picture and then it was her panel time. And by that time, you know, our 8x10 pictures that I took with her were done finally. And that came out the best. She had curly hair this year. It was great.
Oh.
And if you ever wonder, muggles and people who listen to this show who aren't huge sci-fi fans, which I can't imagine who.
Why would you? Yeah.
But
why would you listen to this show?
If anyone who doesn't have this sickness or particular illness ever wonders what happens to all the money that Shannon invests in cons and all that kind of stuff, there's a binder. Okay. It is a binder that sits on our shelf that is now at least in value put into it, not maybe necessarily value sold, but value put into it, worth it hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of autographs and pictures. All that money goes into this little book. And it's just, you flip through it, and it's just pictures of Shannon smiling.
Well, you won't let me put it all up on the wall.
There'd be enough to wallpaper our house, or at least a good portion of it.
Then don't complain when it goes in the book.
Oh, my God.
Matter of fact, I want you to put that plaque out.
Shannon is a very efficient method of converting money into a binder.
Hey, I want the Xena plaque to go up, and then Jamie's plaque to go right there.
Yeah. The Xena plaque?
Yeah.
What Xena plaque?
The one up in the front living room that I got with Lucy and Renee.
It's already up, isn't it?
I want that to go above.
Oh, for
and I'm a Jamie's right there.
Now you see what I live with.
So, yes, but you know what? It was all Uber money.
It's a very efficient way of converting money into photographs.
I found a way to fund my habits, and it's by driving Uber.
Addiction. Addiction is more.
Addiction, habits. Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Last night, I made all back that I spent in Denver. So, my flight, it was a very long day. I mean, my plane took off at 6 o'clock that morning, and it landed back in Dallas at 10:59 at night.
Right. And she brought back the stuff and everything like that, like hunting trophies. You know, like she just downed an elephant or something like that. And look at this. Behold the magnificence of the autograph.
The coolest thing that she signed was, I don't know if I've showed you before. We got the inside of my phone case. I have a Stama. Mm-hmm.
I suggested you do that.
Yeah, I have a custom-made phone case.
Yeah, of Stama, like leaning over and all that, regalia.
It's a photo from season 2.
Right, and I'm like, if you were smart, you'd have her sign that, and she did. So she's got a wicked sweet phone cover of Stama, and then you flip it over, and there's Stama's or Jamie's signature on it. So I mean, that was wicked. I thought that was cool.
I got a picture of when my friends took a picture of me while I was in line with her. She was amazed. She's like, "Oh my God, where'd you get this?" I'm like, "I had it made." Actually, Kim had that made for me, my sister. So she, little does she know. But it was cool. I mean, I actually got to speak with her. And then we had the panel room. And because I bought my tickets back around New Year's, that's when I found out I bought it like that week. I was on the fourth row.
Oh, so you actually had to buy assigned seats.
Well, I didn't know there were going to be assigned seats. I just bought a VIP ticket.
Oh, but VIP.
Effectively, I mean, it was VIP gets up front and then order of purchase.
Right. You know? So obviously it was order of the purchase, and the little wristbands that depend on you, I said row D. I'm like, okay, this is awesome. And I was like, so fourth row, perfect seats.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a signs all over the place that said no videoing. Yeah, I ignored that.
Yeah, Shannon not only videoed it, but posted it on YouTube.
What the hell? When am I ever going to, you know, I don't even know why she was there. She didn't promote Defiant. She didn't promote anything, but people asked her, you know, all sorts of questions.
I know why she was there.
Why?
Because they paid her money.
Oh, obviously that, sillies. I know that.
But, you know, girl probably made 10, 15 grand for showing up for a day. I'd do that
too.
She
did it for 3 days.
Exactly. She made more than most people make it a year in 3 days.
Plus, she got to travel to Colorado, which
place she says she's never been.
Well, okay, but there's a further, it's Colorado.
Yes, it's very herbal friendly.
Yeah, there you go.
You know she's into because she went to Burning Man.
You would think they'd let me take the stuff in the pouch. That's
I'm not saying that they wouldn't let you take it in. I'm saying Dallas wouldn't let you take it out.
Into. You go in
she
any
in Burning Man
federal installation like airports. They're not going to like that stuff.
They're going to have a problem with it. And besides that, yes, I do. She was a Burning Man. If she's a Burning Man, she has participated in some herbal entertainment.
Well, if only by second hand. I mean, it's gonna happen.
You can see the haze.
Can't really escape that. That reminds me of a Stevie Nicks concert I went to one time.
They're called Burning Man for nothing.
Yeah, there's a reason it's like that, babe. I'm just saying.
So, anyways, it was a great con. She was amazing because it was like I said. She didn't think anybody, but she was like, "Oh, hello." I didn't, because she can't, Let me ask you, when you were up on stage, they had lights on, obviously. You could see, right?
We had the room lights up. We'll talk about that later.
She couldn't see us because the lights were so bright on her.
Yeah. But
I actually got up and asked a question. This is how much, I've lost my shyness all of a sudden. And I got up and asked
a
question.
A wilting flower.
You're getting bold. Bold in your need, I guess.
Well, and somebody else asked him, it was pretty cool. Somebody, I guess it was the girls you went with.
The very first question was a Voices of Defiance question.
Yeah, it was.
That was awesome.
To Jamie.
Yeah, we scripted that while we were eating lunch. And she's like, won't this be cool? You're going to ask him? I'm like, no, I can't do that. This is before I got brave. So we had a friend of ours ask it, and that was the first question.
Yeah, she's like, we were listening to VOD, and they mentioned this and this, and so.
Kevin Murphy, Jamie, yeah.
Yeah, the Kevin Murphy thing. And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
And if Kevin ever listens to this, hi, Kevin. Thank you very much for doing the interview. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's stuff you don't hear anywhere else, especially since the show died.
And hopefully he's having fun doing his next adventures.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I mean, he was very gracious with us. So it was pretty cool. So Shannon had a good time. She got back. You couldn't kick the grin off her face for like 2 days.
But, you know, still, I give credit completely to Ryan. Without him sending me the props.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have had a reason to have a big conversation with her. I wouldn't have had anything for her to sign other than, okay, sign this and walk away like I did last time. I mean, I think I would have been nervous, but I had to say something to her now. We took our pictures with the props. So if it wasn't for Ryan, which you can find him, guys, you can find him at tech_geek_e on Twitter. I think that's how you say it.
It's tech_geek_re, right?
RE, that's right. Yep. You're right. So without him sending me the stuff, it wouldn't have been possible for me probably to speak to her as much as I did.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Ryan. And oh, by the way, Sean is still waiting for his Benoit balls and I'm still waiting for my car.
I'm pretty sure when somebody else got those Benoit balls.
Actually, I'd love to have the microphones get back to the auction. I'd been looking at it and the microphones that were used to kill Treasure Doll. I was like,
those would be perfect.
Those would have been perfect, except for they weren't the microphones I wanted. Anyway, it went above $25 more than I was willing to spend on it. So somebody else got them. And
do you know what I was trying to find? What I was trying to buy, what I'd actually put money on.
Jamie's underwear?
No, I don't want the
What were you trying to buy?
The wanted scrolls. I wanted the wanted scrolls to take with me to have her sign.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, okay, those went like $400.
Oh yeah.
Way above my limit. And the girls that I was with had bought them. I'm like, that's just kind of weird that she's standing around. I'm like, what are you going to have her sign? I wanted those. I got something better. I got a poison.
That's right. That's so you. And you said you wanted that while we were doing the podcast. So thank you very much, Ryan. It was awesome.
Yep. So
Nicole wasn't in the auction, so I wasn't really interested.
Yeah, and Anna Hopkins wasn't either.
No Kapow to take home?
Yeah, no Kapow, no Anna Banana. I mean, I'd have paid significant amounts of money for an afternoon with one of them, but, you know.
I've been talking back and forth with Anna a little bit about her stint on Arrow, and she keeps telling me, I can't tell you what's going on. I said, I don't know. I don't care. I just want to, what's your feeling? You know, how do you like the season so far or whatever? She's like, oh yeah, it's going really great, but they don't let me talk to anybody.
Yeah, which tells you there's going to be something going on with her.
Well, there's the whole who's in the grave thing. We're talking Arrow season 4 and she's in it and she is Oliver's baby mama, basically. And she has been in a couple of episodes and she could very well be in the grave. So we just don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, it's funny. Speaking of Arrow, I only took one bag with me to the con, right?
Yeah.
And I bought that plaque to come back with her name in. I bought two little bitty $5 magnets of Stephen Amell. Because Arisa Wi-Fi likes that.
Was it shirtless Stephen Amell or was it?
Very shirtless.
Yeah.
Half naked Stephen Amell. Yeah.
Reminds me of myself with my shirt off.
Yeah. You're 50 push-ups away, right?
Yeah. This is maybe 60 now.
So
that's it.
So I take it back. I bought three items at the con. I bought two magnets and a plaque. That's all I took. But yeah, that's all I had room to take back because that bowl was very awkward to carry in the bag all day long, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
So half naked Stephen Amell back to her. And she's like, I wish you could have found Maddie. And so I'm like, if I can find half-naked Jamie Murray.
And you brought me no Kapow and no Anna Banana.
There was nothing there.
You didn't look hard enough.
There was nothing there.
I'm just saying.
I could have bought you some Battlestar Galactica stuff.
Don't you dare.
All right.
Don't you dare.
I believe we have some BSG stuff to
we
talk
do,
about.
We do. Are you done with your venture to Denver?
I don't know. It may spring out of my lips sometimes.
All right.
But we'll continue.
We'll continue on.
Yeah, so let's talk about what springs out of your lips.
All right, so I had the distinction this weekend to not only have a press pass, but a speaker pass for C2E2, that is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo in Chicago, duh. And it was great. We did a small little panel, I'll talk about that a little later. It was a lot bigger than we thought it was going to be, but I did go to some actual panels. I went to go see the Supergirl panel, which is awesome. I'll probably be releasing some audio from that on the Starling Tribune later after this comes out. And then I stayed in the room the very next panel was Mary McDonald and Edwards James Olmos. They were at the con together. It was they've done about four of them together now. This is their fourth. And they said, Mary admitted it. She on stage, she said, you know, I didn't ever want to do these. I didn't like it. I don't like crowds and that sort of thing. It's just not my thing. And she said it wasn't until they were in Dragon Con at Atlanta and she was with Michael Hogan. And then she walked out and they were just going to dinner or whatever. And they walked out of the building. They were headed to the restaurant and there was just the sea, as there is at Dragon Con, of people in between the buildings. And she turned around, ran back inside and Michael Hogan grabbed her, Mary's arm, and said, what are you doing? She said, I can't go through this crowd with these people. And he goes, what do you know, in true Michael Hogan character, you go, what do you mean you can't do this? You like football, right? She goes, yeah. She's like, you're a Packers fan, right? She said, yeah. It's just like a giant sci-fi fandom tailgate. That's what's going on. She's like, oh, okay. So then she walked back out through it.
I wish I could use a trick on you.
Wouldn't work.
Yeah, he's not a football guy. Yeah.
I'm not a football. I don't do crowd. In fact, I had a hard time with the GWC meetups just because I look around. There's too many people. Too many people. I don't like it. But, you know, with that, it was different, you know, but yeah, no.
And
but they didn't do interviews back when we were doing that show. We tried to get them many, many times. And Mary McDonald just flat told us no.
But
and
you saw Edward, though.
Yeah, I went to see Edward James Olmos speak when he was in town doing, you know, his cultural mm-hmm. tour and talking about that. So we got to see that.
He's very proactive in the Hispanic advancement.
Very much so. And we got to go see him do that. He talked zero about any of his career or any of sci-fi or anything, but it was very empowering and very, you know, he believes in the cultural significance of the differences and the similarities of how people are and to embrace that. So we got to go see him speak on that. But yeah, he's never spoken and he didn't at the time BSG was going on. He did the contractually obligated stuff for the show and the DVDs and stuff like that. But that's it. I mean, he didn't do sci-fi cons then. So it's a very new thing. Well,
it's cool to have him come back out a little bit. I was shocked that JB was even at a con after Defiance ended.
Well, she's not been picked up for another show, has some time on her hands. Is probably why she came out.
And paid.
And these guys are getting old. I mean, BSG, we were talking about it with the people I was with from the Guinea Geek Network. We were talking about it right before the panel. It's like, can you believe it's been over 12 years since this was, because the miniseries came out in December of 2003. It is March 2016 now. So it's been a while.
Can you believe it's been that long since y'all have all come here to Texas to have a meetup?
Hey,
I was at Blue Mesa yesterday.
I've been casting for 10 years.
I was at Blue Mesa restaurant yesterday where we used to all have our brunch. Mm-hmm. I haven't been back there since last time y'all were all here. Well, so
to be fair, Sean, you haven't reached the 10-year mark yet. You have a few more months for that. September.
Oh, please.
It's September.
As many shows as I've done, I'm counting it.
All right. Fair enough.
And we didn't start releasing any of the Toolmonger stuff till after we did the GWC stuff. We actually recorded in February of 06.
So then it's been 10 years. I did not know that. Okay, mm-hmm. There you go.
But given our producer at the time's penchant for keeping stuff in the hole and then not getting around to them later on, they actually released about 8 months or something like that after we started doing them.
Well, okay, there's that. But keep in mind, back then, the infrastructure to do podcasts was not what it was today. So he had to hand you a lot of that stuff.
It wasn't. You know, but it was, and you know, there was a lot of making it harder than it had to be. However, 10 years from the first time I was mic'd up to now. You know, it was a lot bigger process back then, mm-hmm. a lot bigger process.
But because it's grown now, here you were at the Chicago Con with your own panel.
Yeah, so we'll get to that later. I want to stay on the Battlestar Galactica panel because it was amazing. Those two were very emotional, and they're actors. So I had to think to myself, are they being genuine? Yes, they were actually being genuine up there, at least as far as I could tell. And
you can't ever, especially really good actors. That's why I say you never, never date an actor. You can only date a crappy actor because they're trained to lie about emotions they're not having. I mean, that's their job. Right. So you'd never know. especially with those two who are talented.
Fair enough. But there were some great questions. Somebody asked Mary who she thought would make a better president, Gaius or Trump, and she wanted to airlock the guy, but said, no, I'm not going to do it. Thank you very much for it. She had fun with it. Thank you very much for asking the question. And if you ever
want to get into politics, huh?
Well, no, she's very much against Trump and made that known during the entire panel. But she said, don't ever ask me that question again. And then that was the end of that. So that was pretty cool. They both really stressed how great the writing was on Battlestar Galactica. And somebody came back and said it wasn't the writing, it was the acting. And then they said, okay, you know, it was a tremendous ensemble cast and it was really great that way. Unfortunately, I don't have any audio clips to play of this because they said thou shalt not record anything. And since I didn't want my press pass to be taken away from me, not necessarily this year, but anytime in the future, I was like, I put the recorder away and I don't have anything. So sorry about that.
Good thing I didn't have a pass because I sneakily recorded everything.
Well, I was thinking about doing that too, but if I release it, they'll just trace it back to me and then whatever. But Edward said his favorite episode, and I believe this was your favorite episode too, Sean, that hooked you, was 33.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when I started grabbing other people into the show and being like, you need to see this. Mm-hmm. And from that, we got a show.
Which one was that? It's been too many years.
33?
It's the very first one. 33 and a half, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of encapsulated what was going to come, you know, and it did a lot for the characters and everything. And that was really the start of podcasting for me.
You know, what's cool about
as a regular thing.
What's cool about BSG that we talk about all the time is that our friend Matt, he used to work on that show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Gary. What's his name? Gary. I want to say Hudson.
He just passed away.
He just passed away.
Matt went to his funeral yesterday.
And yes, and that's something that both Edward and Mary brought up on the panel. They said we wanted to be there, but we had committed to this, so we're here with you. But everybody remember the name because he was so instrumental in a lot of stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Anna Hopkins, Tony Curran, Grant Bowler, Ron Moore, all of them went.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were more, but Matt went, and that's who he said they were there. Anna, Grant, and Tony. Ron Moore and all the everybody from Defiance.
Yeah, so Edward and Mary took a large chunk of time to pay homage to him and said, this is our eulogy to him. You all are going to learn about Gary. I'm like, I know who Gary is. But they took time. They said an amazing human being, very happy all the time and everything. So sad loss for the sci-fi world, sad loss for Battlestar Galactica and Defiance because he worked on both those shows. But he gave his life for the art, basically, because he worked himself to death is basically the inference that Edward made. But he was sleeping in his office a lot during the production of Battlestar Galactica and making that happen. So,
yeah, a lot of people don't realize Battlestar Galactica was a major undertaking. It was a huge show with a giant sci-fi effects budget. I mean, the thing takes place in space, and it was shot so that you saw a lot of those space battles and all that. So, I mean, there was a lot of gimbals and there was a lot of all that, but there was also a lot of effects and a lot of just incredible CGI that went into that. And it was a very expensive, very long show to produce. So a lot of the people and a lot of the crew and a lot of especially the effects people and the, you know, post-production people, you didn't get sleep when that was going on. I mean, you had to hit your dates because at the time it was a radically important show for the lineup and a tent post for many of the other shows that spawned around it. So, in its day, it was as big as some of the HBO shows that went on. So, I mean, it was a big deal for sci-fi.
It was the Walking Dead of its time. Absolutely.
It was. Yeah. It was. Even through the writer's strike, which, I mean, you noticed a very change in the tempo and everything, and we won't get into that, but I mean, it was still carried through that. Like a lot of shows ended during the writing strike because they just couldn't keep the listener or base.
What was that show that I watched with Catherine Bell that had, you could,
I have no idea.
Remember Army Wives? You could tell the whole season changed with her.
It was a terrible show.
That was a terrible moment they did the writer's strike.
It was a terrible show.
Shut up.
So somebody asked Edward and Mary who would win in a fight, the Battlestar Galactica tech or Star Wars or Star Trek. And Mary just gave it over to Edward, and he said, we would have lost. And and everybody's like, no, man, you guys were badasses. No. And he's like, no, I was flying a museum. And then the whole place just laughed. And you're just like, great. Yeah,
of course they would have lost. They were the plucky underdogs the entire time. The only reason they didn't lose is because the Cylon finally got merged with them. Of course they would. On any long drawn out engagement, the Galactica would have just died.
Disintegrated.
Oh, God, yeah.
Enterprise.
Especially Star Trek, who was an active military who supplied their troops well and their ships well and had plenty of other resources. Galactica had whatever was on the museum when the damn thing left orbit. So, of course they would lose. Yeah,
he said, out of the two, I would least prefer to face the Star Wars universe, but Star Trek is pretty badass too. And then he said, have you ever seen any of their movies?
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
A fully stocked Star Destroyer would blow the hell out of the Galactica.
Hey, Starpy, speaking of Star Trek, you did see my post, right? Who's coming to Dallas?
Yeah, I've seen all. I mean, I'm thinking about going to Dallas here in June, so we'll see.
I mean, you've got Stanley and Haley Atwell, and then now you have William Shatner. Was it Nichelle Nichols?
Oh, have you liked the posters, the memes that's been going around? Kirk for president 2016, because this election is starting to look like the Kobayashi Maru.
Actually, I have a t-shirt that I posted yesterday that said Reynolds and Washburn.
Yeah?
Isn't one of those dead? I mean, he floated like a leaf on the wind, but didn't he get skewered by a pole?
Zoe was.
Was her last name hyphenated, or did she take Wash's name?
No, she took his name.
She was married to him.
But I didn't know she took his name.
Right.
Yeah, she took his name. Yes. Oh,
little firefight trivia that
Mel
we both got
Zoe
schooled on.
Zoe would have done it. I would have voted for him. They had my vote. I've also got the sticker on the back of my car that said Riker and Picard 2016.
I could vote for Riker and Picard. I could get down
Make
on
it
that.
So. Yeah.
Which one is the president, though?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Riker has been backseat to Picard for most of his career.
I would vote for Riker.
Oh, hell yeah, I'd vote for Riker.
And his Imzadi as the... Can you imagine having that Imzadi as...
First Lady?
Hell
yeah. I'd be down with that.
I'm sure you would.
Every year.
He'd take her to every negotiation, too. He's feeling scared, Will. Kick him in the ass, you know. You have the upper hand. They're terrified.
They're all lying to you, Will.
That's a First Lady I would be down with, you know.
Right. So to get back to the Battlestar Galactica panel, or Edward and Mary, they talked extensively about her character dying in that scene. And they mentioned, I remember hearing this before, but I'd forgotten about it, that it impacted her so much that she emotionally was so invested that she actually, when she got up to walk off set, finally, she fainted and her 12-year-old son, I want to say it could be grandson, caught her. And so they recounted that. And then the last question was, can we do a So Say We All? So we did that. But before they did that, Edward said, do you guys know that I did that whole speech take at the beginning of Battlestar Galactica in one take, that they allowed him to play it off? And
I can see it.
He just did that when he was walking around the crowd and everything in the hangar or whatever, when they were doing the So Say We All. And it was amazing. It was a whole theater of, I want to say, 2,000 to 4,000 people in that theater room or whatever said So Say We All really loud. So it was really cool. It's supposed to be on Twitch, on C2E2 streaming Twitch, but I haven't been able to find it yet. So if you guys are able to find it, go to the Twitch stream for the 2016 C2E2. And you will find their panel amazing. And I, once again, I would have recorded it, but I was told, nobody records.
Chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little bit.
Janet just doesn't care. No. Janet record anything at any time.
You know, I was recording with my camera when she first came out to catch the VOD question. But, it died like 12 minutes into it. So I'm like holding my phone against my shoulder. Looking at the lights were so bright that I couldn't see your face on my camera anyway. So I'm holding my phone up against my shoulder and I'm filming her from the big screen.
Mm-hmm. You need to learn for those people that record movies to throw out.
We'll just get her glasses that have the camera built in them.
Yeah, Google Glass.
The pack that runs through your shirt and down to your belt.
Do they make those?
Yes. Yeah, they're thousands of dollars, though. You got to do a lot of Uber driving for that.
Ripped off and stuff.
Lots of driving. Lots of driving.
That's right. That's right. One last thing. You were saying that you were going to bring the tea set back to Jamie Murray. Somebody actually last year at C2E2, because Mary McDonald was at C2E2 last year, brought her Armani suit that they had purchased in the auction. Wow. They brought it back to her because they heard that she missed it so much. And it was the one thing that she wanted to take from the set.
That's cool. So they gave it to her?
Yeah, they gave it to her and she called them out. She asked if they were there. They were not. But she said, if they ever hear this, you know, you're welcome to come by at any time and see the suit. So that was pretty cool.
Jamie wanted me to keep all this stuff together, which is cool. I would have been cool if she'd taken it, but I'm glad that she didn't, obviously, but it's cool.
All right. So we're going to talk about one last thing and then we'll get out of here. So the reason I was at C2E2 is the Gunna Geek had a little podcasting panel. So if you've liked listening to Voices of Defiance or Sci-Fi Boneyard or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Starling Tribune, any of the podcasts that any of the three of us do, Better Podcasting I do now, which Sean, you're welcome to come on anytime, sir.
Woohoo!
We had a panel discussing everyday podcasting for your everyday life. And we had six people from the Gunna Geek Network there. There was myself. There was Cody from Game Life Balance. There was Chris Farrell, one of my co-hosts on Starling Tribune and Gunna Geek. He also runs All Things Good Nerdy. And then Naki and Willie from All Things Good Nerdy were there. And then a co-host of Sean's was there as well, Mr. Beef, representing Legends Podcast.
Beefamus Prime.
Yes. Dude, his voice is incredible. So I got to
tell. It's so deep.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys about this whole experience. So we did this and we thought we were going to get like 6-12 people, whatever. Beef and I are coming at it from the GWC experience. And we're like, okay, you know, maybe 30, whatever. They were lined up to get in. And so,
look at you.
Yeah, it was great. So I was behind the podium for the first time ever at a con. It was great. The lights were up. That was something actually that Edward James Olmos and Mary McDonald requested. They said, we want to see the crowd. Can you turn the lights up? And they stopped until the con people actually turn the lights up so they could see the crowd.
Wish everybody would do that.
I know. So the lights were up so we could take questions. It was kind of in a workshop room or whatever. So we gave a little swag out and I'm just going to show it to these two on the camera right now. It is actually an etched coaster, a leather coaster with the Gunna Geek symbol on it. That's pretty cool. And we talked about it. We answered questions, talked about podcasting, answered questions, and there were a lot of podcasters in the room, but I would say it was about half and half for people that do podcast to people that were thinking about podcasting, whatever. And I threw out a stat that I've heard from Todd Cochran from Blueberry, which is one of the major media hosting companies and also does the PowerPress plugin. And he said that there's somewhere between 1,200 and 3,000 new podcast shows showing up every week. Sean, did you know that?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah,
it doesn't surprise me at all.
Now, I don't know how many of them stay around because, you know, pod fade happens anywhere from episode 7 to episode 20 when people are like, oh, this is a lot of work. I don't want to do this. Or my audience isn't growing as fast as it should be or whatever. So
right.
Not all of those podcasts stay, but that's how many new podcasts are coming into the area. So there's an incredible appetite to learn more about podcasting. And this panel that we did will be posted on the Gunna Geek website as soon as Steven can get it edited, which will be after this comes out because Steven has a business trip this week. But we will put that out for the world to see. And if you have any further questions about podcasting or whatever, you can always get a hold of myself or Sean or betterpodcasting.com. It's a podcast that I do with Steven on podcasting. So go ahead and do that. But another cool thing that we did, Sean, you're going to love this. I don't think you've heard about this yet, or maybe you have from Beef. I don't know. But Cody actually works part-time at WGN Radio. So after the panel on Friday, on Saturday, after we were done at the con, we all trekked over to WGN and we used their main radio studio to record.
Nice.
It was amazing. They had
there's a huge difference between Pro Gear set up to do its thing and what everybody normally has. It's a stark contrast.
They had, and I'm pointing, you can't see this. I'm only going to release an audio version of this mainly because Shannon and Sean on camera. No, you don't want that. Anyway, they have this Electro Voice.
Along with our red tape.
That's right. They have the Electro Voice RE320s. That's their main thing. And I'm using one right now. So that was pretty cool. But Beef's voice on a large diaphragm microphone Oh, you got to hook him up with one of those. They are his voice is amazing. And it was incredible.
Beast's voice is so deep and so resonant that you normally have to adjust them different in an audio setting, in an audio framework, because if you don't, A, you're missing out on a lot of it. And B, his inflections happen so low on the scale that you miss half of them.
Plus, he projects very well. So Cody was riding the faders the whole time to try to level it off real time. He kept bowling Beefs down, down, down. It was like at minus, I don't know, 20 or 30 at the end to finally get him level. But that was awesome. So
I have an entire compressor that I have labeled Beef. Beef, not going to miss it. And it rides on every, when I edit him, he gets his own compressor because you have to get his, he has an amazing voice.
Everybody swarmed us afterwards. It was the weirdest thing. It was being rushed. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not important at all. But we've had an article written about it on Bleeding Cool, the biggest Gonna Geek posts ever so far that we have had on the stats, whatever. So apparently a lot of people like this. And when you took a look at the C2E2 app, we were one of the top people that had scheduled to come in outside of the big panels. So I was like, whoa, this is going to be amazing. So again, you will find that panel and the subsequent recording that we did at WGN when Steven has time to edit it over the next couple of weeks. So enjoy that. It is hilarious. I mean, if you like listening to Sean, you will definitely like listening to Beef if you haven't heard him already. And the ensemble of all six or eight of us that recorded at WGM is just going to be fun to listen to. So there you go.
You can find all my stuff on YouTube.
That's right.
Your illegal illicit recordings.
You know, the girl that I was with, she took video too, but she's afraid to release it. I'm like, just give it to me, I'll release it.
Yeah, Shannon has no fear.
Yeah, that's right. Just take down my account. I'll make
me
a new
take
one.
It away from me. I still have my phone. I'll put it back on Twitter. I got 5 videos.
All right. At this point in time, I want to say thank you very much. After our last episode, which we said was going to be our last episode, and it really was, as far as Defiance is concerned, we received so many people asking us to get back together to podcast, to do this or that. And I want to say thank you very much to everybody. We really appreciate it. I will tell you that this is a one-off here. We don't intend on doing this in the future. We all have other things that we go off to do. Sean and Shannon do Sci-Fi Boneyard. I have 5 other podcasts I do. The feed is still there, so whenever the opportunity arises, we'll get together and do it.
Well, I mean, we did this here because...
Jamie.
Because Jamie was actually in Defiance. So it was actually something about Defiance.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I've posted on Twitter. I've posted them on my Instagram. I have them on YouTube. So people can go and they can find all this stuff through me at Sci-Fi Girl. But it was an actual something about Voice of Defiance that brought us. And we had a Voice of Defiance question. So it was enough to bring us back.
It is. Yeah. And it's not like you're hurting for any other content with Star Pie. In fact, you are spreading yourself as about as thin as it could possibly go, sir.
Absolutely. I
mean, depending on, how much you're editing and how much you're actually producing and all that. Holy crap, man. That's 5 is about the limit.
No, 2 is the limit. I will be firm on that. 2 is the limit.
See, I mean, it's tough, especially between scheduling and all that kind of stuff. So if you ever wonder how people do that, it's because either that's their full-time job, you know, like a Kevin Smith or something like that, where he just does podcasting and everything, and then he has an entire crew that does podcasting for him. There's a whole bunch of work that goes into that. So really, 2 shows is really what you got. And I'm moronic enough, I'm thinking about picking up a third, but there's a ton of work that goes into it, and you have a shelf life on that.
Kevin Smith, as in Kevin and Silent Bob?
Yes.
Both of those are going to be at the Dallas Con, too.
Yeah. No, I mentioned that, or I heard them mention that the other day, and they are 2 that would get me out of it, because I've talked to Kevin Smith a couple times. Mm-hmm. And
you would actually go? You couldn't go.
To him? Yeah.
Stanley is going to be at this one.
Oh, no. Screw it, then. No.
I'm telling you.
Stanley crowd's too big for me.
Last year at the Dallas Con, there were 68,000 people.
Yeah, not doing it. I mean, I'd go for Kevin Smith because I've talked to him a couple times.
One, you know what?
Different areas.
You could sneak into one room and sneak
out. I don't know. I like Kevin Smith's attitude.
I'm going to have to call in.
Which is kind of funny because I've actually been casting longer than him.
Right, right. Well, but he does actual production work, right? He writes comic books. He's directing Flash now on a few episodes.
He picked up his movies again because Tusk kind of reinvigorated him and all that stuff. And Yoga Hosers is going to be released, if not this month, next month, I think it is. There's a huge kind of following. But I love his attitude toward podcasting and the things that I've always... and spouse, he says as well, like anybody can podcast. And that is absolutely true. Mm. Anybody can and should podcast if you have things to say. Now, whether anybody wants to listen to it or not, maybe not. You know, you might not have a good voice. You may not have good chemistry. You may not, but anybody can and anybody should. So I'm a big believer in that. There shouldn't be a gatekeeper for casting.
That's right. That's the big thing about podcasting. There is no gatekeeper right now. Yeah. And that might change in the future as big corporations roll into it. But right now, there's no gatekeeper. Get your stuff out there. So again, thank you to the fans of Voices of Defiance. Thank you to everybody that listens to us or pays attention to our Twitter accounts or whatever. We sincerely
and our Facebook is still active.
Yeah, I know. People still like that. So thank you very much. I mean, people are like clicking like the Facebook page still. So thank you very much, everyone. And if there is an opportunity to do something like this again, we'll do it. But it's a very special occasion to make this possible. And we'll just go from that. So
maybe if you come to Dallas, we'll do a
I'll podcast live in the O'Hara studio.
That's right.
With duct tape.
Required.
Yeah, here you go.
So, you have to put clothes on? I don't know if I could do that. Yeah. I don't cast with clothes on. Everyone knows this.
This is true. Yeah, the pantsless. Ew. Okay.
I still have that meme actually. The Pantless Podcast.
Yeah, it's been going on for years.
Yeah, it's an old meme.
Well, no, that's
very old.
I know, but Cookie made one. Remember that? Cookie made one for us.
Oh, that's right.
In another couple years, that meme will be old enough to drive.
That's true. Shannon, do you have anything left to say as we say our final farewells once again?
No, other than, again, thank you to Ryan for... encouraging me, giving me something to speak with Jamie about.
Many brownie points were earned there, homie.
Sean?
Nothing. I just encourage podcasting in general. Everyone who listens can do one. Also, I encourage no clothes whenever possible. Anybody who listens can do that as well.
Which is why the duct tape works so well on you.
Yeah. Just shave first with the duct tape and the no clothes thing. I'm just saying. It's going to help.
Sounds rather smutty, actually, when you think about just, naked and duct tape and shaving.
I've got videos for that. That's an entire category.
It's entire another podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And for that, I have this for you, sir.
Exactly.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. We appreciate you. And I would say we'll see you next time, but I don't know if there's going to be next time. So thank you very much for listening.
Peace out, guys.
Look.
Butt plugs.
Not my fault.
Oh, those went on forever. Although the log is pretty good. Still get this.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesODefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com. Or send us a voicemail on area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance. Music titled After the Apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time, and watch out for those hellbugs.
I miss that noise, you're calling in.
The boom, 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 or whatever Sean's got it hooked up as.
Yeah, that's what it is.